What up? Back again for another great episode for the FTN Fantasy Show. It's your boy LQ, Mr. Real Deal Fantasy HQ. You see the face, you know the case. Fire content only. And Matt Okada along for the ride, my guy. I feel like it's been forever since we chopped it up, but it's been once a week. I feel like I need to tap in with you a little bit more because so much news cycles throughout the week.
Yeah. I think it's because there's so much more happening now than earlier in the off season that it feels like there's a bunch more stuff we haven't talked about. Also, I need to get me a bunch of intro taglines. You've got like the Daenerys Targaryen, Mother of Dragons, Breaker of Change things going on with all the additional. I need some of those. How do I get those?
I just rip it off in my head and just whatever comes out comes out. That's what it is, man. I've been saying it for so long. It's been a while since I probably changed it up because I still add the HQ at the Real Deal Fantasy when I changed my handle like 3 years ago. So see, you might have pointed out a flaw within that, but we might have to change it up for the 2025 season. But we're talking about our top 10 quarterbacks this season, and we're going to be looking at our consensus that we, individually, we have our own rankings where we give both perspectives on the spectrum. I like some guys. Some guys are a little bit higher, and I look at your list. Some of my guys are a little bit lower in your rankings, but we'll iron all that out today. But let's jump into some preseason watch because Justin Herbert will be playing his first ever preseason game. Now, it feels like this dude's been in the league for like 10 years, but I don't know how he skated through not playing a preseason game. So is this a little concerning we're seeing this now, being that they just lost a major piece in Rashawn Slater on the offensive line? Like, do we need to see Justin Herbert out there right now in preseason?
Well, that part, the context you just provided is the concerning part. The fact that he's lost his protection on the outside and one of the best offensive linemen in the league. The fact that he's playing in preseason does not bother me at all. I saw that he said, basically, I want to see the pass rush in live game action because, you know, you don't really get to see that properly in practice. Those guys aren't supposed to hit him, etc.
Yeah.
So it makes a difference in preseason. And that makes a lot of sense to me. I think that's smart. I don't love the fact that that pass rush is the Rams coming at him with no Rashawn Slater. So
I didn't want to like pump my chest out. Like, I think you know who he about to go up against. Like, it's yes. One of the best out there. So that's correct. Crazy, though. This would be that game that they want to get those live reps with him because I'm a little worried for him. And again, like, he's not a guy that he is in my top 10 in fantasy when it comes to these quarterbacks this year, but I do like Justin Herbert, the player. And like, I would hate for us, the Rams, to, you know, half the stadium is split between Chargers and Rams. We're kind of like cousins that we just don't like each other get along with. But this is a major piece missing from that O-line. So my concern levels are a little bit up there, like 7 out of 10 for me. I mean, what about you, Okada? Like, are you on that same type of side of the spectrum?
I'm just going to assume that he's going to get the ball out quick and not take any hits, even if it doesn't result in the most efficient play. So I'm going to say okay with Justin Herbert. Also, let's be honest. This is not, you know, Caleb Williams or CJ Stroud, who I don't necessarily trust to get the ball out and to take hits that are unnecessary. Justin Herbert knows how to protect himself, so he should be fine. And maybe this is a good thing.
Well, we're going to see Caleb Williams, and we're going to see him Sunday night against the Bills in a preseason action. I mean, what do you want to see from the Bears offense, and what do you want to see from Caleb alone individually?
I want to see him manage Ben Johnson's system and make some Ben Johnson plays and make them look good. Some, you know, more complex stuff, maybe some on-the-run stuff.
Yeah,
get some of that creativity. Obviously, I don't think Johnson wants to show his whole playbook or anything like that, but run some of the tougher plays, make him read some tough coverages, and see what we can get. Because we know Caleb Williams has the talent. I think it's just about whether or not he can learn to run an NFL system, stay upright, not take sacks, not make mistakes. And if he does all that, he all of a sudden, you know, maybe makes this list next year. Or maybe he makes this list now. We'll see.
I mean, for me personally, all I want Caleb to do is go out there and, like you said, do the difficult plays. I want to see some DJ Moore out of the backfield running routes. Like, I want to see something that's going to get us excited for fantasy managers and also the Bears fans as well, man. Like, I want to see like that big pop in the play, like who got wide open and made the play down the sideline. Like, that's what I want to see, you know, from Caleb Williams. And that only brings momentum going into week one. So hopefully we see some great preseason action over there. But is this it for Anthony Richardson, man? I'm going to be straight up, Okada. Like, is this it? Is this the final stand for Anthony Richardson to make a strong case to be the QB one week one? Or is this just kind of like it's over?
I mean, I'm not in that Indy front office or coaching staff, so it's hard to know for sure. However, were I to be placed into that Indy front office or coaching staff, I would have already made the decision. I do not think, at least not until he has that. You remember when Josh Allen had that offseason where he'd been pretty awful for the first couple of years as a passer, and then he went and learned how to throw? I think it was from, yeah. What's the Palmer brother that coaches? Not Carson, but the other Palmer. He's a quarterback's coach.
Yes, oh my quarterback's gosh. Coach.
Really good quarterback's coach. We got to look that up. Yeah, figure it out.
I'm following you.
Figure it out.
I'm following
you. Yeah. I think it's Carson Palmer's brother, and quarterbacks went to him to learn how to throw the football, and when they did, it made a big difference. And Josh Allen all of a sudden changed his throwing motion and came back and was a whole new guy. I don't even know if Anthony Richardson can do that, because he does not seem to have the mental capacity to play the game at a high level, the way that he, you know, he runs and takes hits when he shouldn't. In the pocket, looking absolutely lost. We saw it in the first game when he fractured his pinky because he did not see a blindside coming after also not being ready to dump the ball off when he should have. It's just a disaster back there. So even if he fixes his throwing motion, I don't feel that confident about Anthony Richardson. But he has to have that kind of insane, like revelatory offseason before I think he has a chance to be a franchise QB in this league. So maybe this is a technical last stand just to see what he can do, but I think it's going to be Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I think that front office already had kind of made their mind up about where they're probably going to go with week one. But for Anthony Richardson, you know, I hope he goes out there and he balls out. I hope all the positive things, you know, in this second chance of like just making a stand and making a strong case that he can be the QB one, because what he's always been lacking is reps. So that's kind of like where the argument lies. Like, he needs more time. He needs more time to develop and get these reps, because the injuries, him in and out, getting benched, tapping out, et cetera, et cetera. But moving on to the number one draft pick, Cam Ward. Now, played two series in week one. Now, he impressed me just with the limited action. And it seems like he's going to play two series again. Like, do you think this might be like a Cam Ward could be a QB one in fantasy this season? Because some folks got some drafts coming up, and Cam Ward's name has been popping up a lot.
Do I think he can be a QB one? Very unlikely. It's not impossible, but it's not common that we see it from a rookie quarterback, even number one overall picks. In fact, I would venture to say especially number one overall picks, because they usually go to awful teams. No exception here. Also, beyond that, as much as I do like Cam Ward to a degree as a prospect, he's arguably as bad a number one overall pick prospect as there can be. And that sounds kind of worse than I mean for it to. But this was just a very weak class at the quarterback position, and he was the guy that the team that needed to pick a quarterback ended up picking. But this is not a Trevor Lawrence, even Caleb Williams or Baker Mayfield type player, and all of those guys we've seen have slow starts. So I think he will have a slow start. I don't think he has the weapons to be incredible, even though I do really like Calvin Ridley for fantasy this year. I think he's going to have some good games, but not be fantasy relevant unless you're in a 2QB league. That said, I still want to see him go out there and ball, and I think we'll see some great highlight plays from him throughout the year, because that's kind of his game.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about Calvin Ridley this year. Like, I think the touchdowns go up, the yards go up, and obviously he's going to be a focal point function of that offense. And, like, they have Chigakonku, they have Tyler Lockett, they have guys that can make plays, and Elik Ayomanu, their rookie, and think that they had the right pieces to make Cam Ward successful. So I'm just going to put him on my watch list. Like, I do want to put him on my watch list because, you know, I may have taken Baker Mayfield a little too early last weekend in drafts. I might have taken this roll of the dice on Patrick Mahomes, where you have Hollywood Brown banged up, where you have Rashid Rice might be facing suspension in the middle of the season. So there could be ups and downs with Patrick Mahomes. But I'm going to put Cam Ward on my watch list. But we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into a top 10 quarterbacks, and might be a little spicy at the back end of it, but I think it's kind of chalk 1-3. And we're back. Okada, we got to get into these top 10 QBs, man. And I feel like, speaking for myself, 1-5 was not that difficult for me. It's kind of when we got into that, like, 6-7 area and back into the 10 where some things look a little different on our list.
Well, listen, Laquan, you say that with some confidence, but you do have a sneaky guy in your top five who I really like seeing there. We'll save that for later, teaser, because it's in the top five. But it is fair to say, to some degree, this is, even despite your breaking of this rule, one of the most chalk top five that I can remember. Like, it's such a clear tier up there for most people. The guy that you have sneaking in, I have right outside it, and basically would have him in there, just have him one spot back for the risk factor. But the rest of the outside of that, it becomes kind of a, I would say crapshoot, but I don't think it's a crapshoot because these are good guys, but it becomes a little bit more of a chaotic.
Yeah, a little bit chaotic, and, like, I'm glad you explained it that way. Like, the one guy that we're keeping the question mark mystery guy, we'll speak about in a little bit, but I do think he has to be considered within that top five. Like, his name has to be there because we've seen guys like Baker and Burrow. These guys aren't the mobile guys out there, even though Burrow was kind of mobile last season, but these guys were top five quarterbacks, you know? And I think that he is going to return that reins, but let's start at the bottom, right? Now, in our consensus, we have Justin Fields. Where are you at now at this point with Justin Fields? Like, after the toe, some of the bad camp, you know, stuff we've seen for the videos, him missing, like, wide open, you know, shots to Garrett Wilson, et cetera. Like, where are you at right now? Because we did this list a little while ago. Now, how are you feeling today about a top 10 pick on Justin Fields?
So, it's a little funky with Justin Fields, but here's what I'll say. I think that looking at the bad camp throw videos, and I even saw one show up on my timeline the other day that was like an edit of all his bad throws, and it was rough.
However, I was like, damn, why are they doing that?
However, I would be careful about double counting things in preseason. And for those who don't know what I mean by that, it's like we have certain expectations of certain players, and then when they go out and show those expectations in camp, we sometimes can overreact and add that on top of what we already expected, even though it's the same thing. So, and this can go in both directions. We're like, you know, oh, Tet McMillan, he's probably going to be a great contested catch guy and make some sick plays in the NFL. And then we see that start to happen in camp, and everybody starts freaking out because, oh my goodness, Tet McMillan, look at these plays he's making. It's like, yes, that's why he was drafted where he was drafted. Yes, we know absolutely. He can do this. So you want to be careful not to double count stuff sometimes. Justin Fields has never been a good passer. He's always been a bad passer, or at least at the NFL level. In college, he was a pretty good passer, and I still like to see that materialize in the NFL because I was a huge fan of him as a prospect. However, he has not found it at the NFL level yet. So I'm not shocked to see him miss throws. And for the record, he also makes a bunch of throws in practice. It's not like he's only missing his targets, but he's going to miss throws. That's not why we draft him in the top 10. If he adds the passing game at some point, great. He becomes a top three kind of guy. The reason that he's getting drafted in the top 10, whether in ADP or for us in our rankings, unless you tell me you feel otherwise, is because of the rushing. He is the best or right there with Lamar Jackson as the two best rushing quarterback in the NFL. And he, and for fantasy, that's everything. So he doesn't have to, he's been top six every other year. Whenever he's been a starter, he's been a top six guy while being atrocious as a passer. So I'm not double counting the preseason. I'm aware of the fact that he's going to have a very bad passing numbers, most likely. I am drafting him for the rushing upside and expecting him to be top six plus.
Absolutely. And like, I got him in my rankings at QB8. And usually that's where you see the Kyler Murray sit, and that's where you have Kyler Murray ranked at. So I'm taking my love for Kyler, or should I say my disappointment for Kyler, and I'm just shifting it to Justin Fields, because I do think the rushing upside needs to be emphasized. Like, that's why we're grabbing this guy. That's why he has a top five ceiling, because he's the only one that we know that could put 1,000 yards on the field. So I do think that Justin Fields needs to be respected in some of these drafts, and a steal in a sense if you're waiting on a quarterback and you want to take the shot on him this year, because again, he's not always known as the best passer. So when I see these videos, I'm just like, oh, here we go. Like, why are guys hammering the point that we already know? That is not why we're interested in Justin Fields. So please, just stop. Just stop, ladies and gentlemen. Next, we'll go to Patrick Mahomes at the number 9 consensus spot, that we're probably on two different sides of the spectrum when it comes to this. But now with Travis Kelce basically taking accountability, saying yes, acting and all the off-field distractions played a part into last season. So with Travis Kelce taking, you know, that accountability and possibly in the best shape of his life. Yeah. Anyway, do you think Patrick Mahomes is too low at the consensus 9? Because some people still have him in that top 7 conversation.
Well, I have him in at 7. So technically, I'm one of those people that have him in the top 7 conversation. However, I will say to your question, I don't think having him here at 9 in our consensus rankings is too low. And I don't even think having him at 12, which is where you have him, which is how we average out to 9, is
too low. That was me being very disrespectful.
Well, here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes has not been very good for fantasy the last couple years. And I don't know if everybody in the fantasy community, like the players of fantasy, know this. It's sometimes hard for us as analysts, I think, to really understand what the community, like the general fantasy players, think about some of these players, because we know Patrick Mahomes has not been good for fantasy because we look at these numbers constantly. But most of the NFL fandom knows Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in the NFL. So if they're not super deep into fantasy and you're going into a fantasy draft and you see Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the NFL, is still available in the 8th round, you're like, oh my sweet heavens, let me grab that. Here's what I think about Mahomes. I understand the offense has shifted over the last couple of years. I understand the way he's thrown, where he's thrown the ball, namely very close to the line of scrimmage for the most part, has shifted. And it has hurt his fantasy value. Ultimately, I still think that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right alongside Josh Allen. And I'm famous among some circles for saying that Josh Allen is kind of on the same level as Patrick Mahomes. But we'll say for now, Mahomes is the best. I think that it is more likely that he regresses a little bit back towards the mean positively. It's regressing does not always mean a bad thing. And starts, you know, returning to the Mahomes of that we remember from a few years back. I think that is more likely than that he just stays as this dink and dunk game manager for many, many years. And so there's not really necessarily something about the 2025 Chiefs that tells me it's happening now. Although what I will say is, if Rice is there for most of the season and Worthy is headed into year 2, and they added Rashard Smith, and they still got Travis Kelce, it's possible this is one of his better receiving cores in recent years. So maybe that's one reason. But ultimately for me, it's like, I have him at 7 because the guys I have right behind him have scored more in fantasy recently, or I expect might score more in fantasy, but are much riskier guys who have a major downside where the floor could just fall out from under them, where they don't play well. And I just don't see that with Mahomes. And I think he could take a step back up towards where he's been before. That's why I have him at 7. But I don't think it's wrong to rank him at 9 or 12, because that's kind of what we've seen from him the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I think with him living in that range, and us as fantasy analysts, we like to call ourselves, need to feed the fantasy streets with, look, you need to take the big name out of the equation. Like, you're going to your work buddy's draft this weekend, or you're showing up at your family's draft, and like, obviously Patrick Mahomes and the actual real football name is the biggest name out there in football as one of the best. But sometimes that doesn't always translate to fantasy on Sundays. Sometimes these things just don't match up. And I think this is one of these things, and why I have him at quarterback 12 is for the simple fact is that Travis Kelce's on the decline. And I honestly look at this wide receiver room. It's dysfunction once again. Like, I do think a lot of the weight is on Xavier Worthy, who is a young player, to keep this offense afloat. So with injuries with Brown, with suspension looming with Rice, and a whole bunch of other things going on with that backfield with Breshard Smith and Pacheco, can he stay healthy? Can even Breshard Smith get some preseason action? That's where I'm at with it. But let's move on. Let's move on before I get into a BS rant. I want to get to 8 and 7. Now, our consensus comes down with 7 with Bo Nix and Kyler at 8. Now, this is interesting to me because I've actually had this debate within myself. Right now, I obviously have Kyler at 9, and then I have Bo Nix in my rankings individually at 7. I feel like they're a lot closer because both bring the rushing upside, but I think Kyler, to me, he may have a higher ceiling, but we haven't seen that higher ceiling from him in the last couple of seasons. So with Bo Nix finishing, I would say QB9 on yours, and you have Kyler at 8, are you on that same spectrum where these two can literally be flip-flop and that close in rankings?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the exact way I would sum it up, exactly how you did. It's like, we saw great stuff from Bo Nix as a rookie. I think this offense is going to take another step forward. So I think he's going to be very solid, very solid. However, Kyler Murray, to me, does have the higher ceiling because of the rushing upside. By the way, Bo Nix can run the ball, but he's not Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray can be close to that. However, we have so consistently seen Kyler not do it. Like, there's been every year, it's Kyler has the ability to be the best dual threat quarterback in the NFL, legitimately.
Lamar Jackson
is clearly there. Jaden Daniels is clearly there. But Kyler Murray could be in that conversation if he hit the way that he should be able to. But it's just been so inconsistent. He disappears for long periods of time. He's had the injuries. He didn't run a lot the last couple of years because he was coming off that knee. Mm-hmm. He has said he's going to run more this year. He should be fully healthy now, a couple of years removed. He's got the best or one of the best receiving tight ends in the league in Trey McBride, and what I believe should or could be one of the best wide receivers in the league in Marvin Harrison.
Greg Dortch, let's go.
No.
I thought you were going to Dortchland. That's what, come on.
Oh my God.
Look, Kyler said it. If Greg Dortch was a little bit taller, if he was 6 foot or 6'1", true, he would be a top 5 wide receiver in the NFL. So that's not crazy to think.
He's
that's
weird.
Out of Kyler's mouth.
Him and Kyler both are wee men. So that makes things a little tougher. But I do think Harrison takes a step forward. I think McBride is great. So Kyler has the ability. He has the upside, is the way you put it, to be in that elite 3 or 4 guys. I just can't put him there because of the lack of consistency. So he's down here at 8, right next to, or for me, above, but I would not blame anyone for putting him one spot below Bo Nix. And I think most people have him even lower than we have him, Laquan, because they're even more tired of the inconsistency.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the fantasy streets and the folks that have drafts coming up this week, I think your plan of action is, look, do I want to get on that Kyler train again? I kind of know where it goes. I've seen the entire park. It's boring, right? It's like after you go to Disneyland the entire weekend. Like, I've seen everything I've seen on day one. I don't need to see it again. I think with Bo Nix, you have that sense that this offense has gotten better. Sean Payton has gotten his weapons. Bo has shown he can get in and out of that pocket just with the best of them. So I look at this as where the ceiling that we're looking for Kyler that we know he can hit, Bo has a opportunity to hit that. And with the right pieces around him, I don't think that's crazy to think. So having Bo over Kyler, that's not crazy pants. Like, where in some circles, they'll be talking your ear off of Kyler Murray over Bo Nix, and Kyler Murray's a top five guy. And it's crazy talk because we have been so far removed from that season where we've seen that opportunity. Where, don't get it confused. Like, Bo Nix, we are big believers on this podcast. We are Nix tape season. Okada, am I is that accurate to say?
Yes.
Okay. You're a little like eased him. In. You're a little you like him, but I love him. Let's get that clear.
That's
but
true.
Let's take another quick commercial break and we'll come back and we'll wrap up this top 10. And we are back. And we need to wrap up the top 10. And there is some spiciness in this consensus 10, but there's more spiciness in my ranking. So I'm going to put these two together. In our 6 and 5 spot, we have Joe Burrow. But the person above him may shock some folks. It may break the internet. But it is Dak Prescott at the number 5 spot over Joe Burrow. Okada, your thoughts.
First of all, round of applause for us. That's my first thought, okay? Because having Dak Prescott in the top 5 is absurdity in the fantasy community, in ADP, yeah. In rankings. You are not going to see that anywhere. He's more likely to be outside the top 10 than he is to be inside the top 5.
Facts.
Now, I have him at 6, just outside that tier of 5, because that tier of 5, in my opinion, is so reliably top of the rankings. We can probably just name them at this point. Everybody knows who they are. We'll get to our specific order. But Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, and Joe Burrow is basically everybody's top 5. Not Laquan's, but basically everybody's. And it's for a good reason. Like, these guys have shown year in and year out, they are going to be there to play the games. They're going to be consistently solid, and they're going to have the upside to be the best in fantasy and the best in the NFL. Jaden Daniels, maybe a little bit less of a consistency train in the sense that he's only had 1 year to show it, but showed so well as a rookie that we can only expect that good or better moving down the line. Having said all that, Dak Prescott belongs in that tier as long as he is healthy. The only reason he's not in it and has not been in it is because of the injuries. He's missed significant time every other season, it feels like, for several years now. But whenever he is there, I brought up a stat on a recent podcast with you, Laquan, about comparing his 17-game pace to Joe Burrow's, and you can't even tell the difference. They're basically the same guy. So having Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott back-to-back for me doesn't even feel weird. Like, if Dak plays 17 games, he will be in this tier with these guys. This team throws the ball, the living daylights out of the ball. I don't think their defense is going to be very good. Obviously, they were not good last year. A lot of it was injury, but they are not going to be a top 10 defense. Most people would predict, I would predict, which means they're still going to throw the ball a ton. They have no run game. He now has a legitimate downfield threat in George Pickens alongside CeeDee Lamb, probably his best wide receiver two in many years, and a very solid tight end in Jake Ferguson, by the way, who you'll see ranked pretty highly in my top 10 when we get there.
I love that.
Dak Prescott is going to throw for 4,000-plus yards and 30-plus touchdowns if he plays the full season, and I am tired of the disrespect he is getting in the fantasy community, getting ranked at the back end or outside the top 10. Now, Laquan, you've got him at 3. You broke him into that tier. So you got to tell me, I mean, I lay down all the base case, but you got to tell me how he jumps over the guys he jumps over for you.
Listen, this is a situation Dak has not had, right? He has not had a number 2 that can be able to step up to this tier of talent to match the same energy as CeeDee Lamb. Because we got to remember, Dak is an on and off guy. He's injured, he's healthy, he's injured. Every other season, this guy's dealing with injuries. So that overlap of where, you know, Amari Cooper, where he was getting him on the decline. Like, we had Michael Gallup outplaying Amari Cooper at some point. So obviously with CD coming in and stamping as the alpha, that just deletes any type of help. Cooper goes on, they bring in Brandon Cooks. Now you have somebody like George Pickens that could be an actual threat. This is only going to elevate those 4,000 yards and 30 plus touchdowns, that floor that we're giving him, to where he's going to crack the ceiling of we've never seen before. Because just seeing this live in practice in Oxnard, in that Rams and Cowboys joint practice, you just see what these two demons are going to be doing to these defenders on Sundays. This is only going to elevate Dak's touchdowns, his yards, and honestly, I do think that this run game is going to be slept on as well. So there's going to be a lot of scoring opportunities. So Dak is sitting in my top three because he's done this before, just two seasons ago. So this ain't like crazy talk pulling out of my butt. This is something that is on document paper. This is on wax. We've got the evidence. So Dak Prescott, ladies and gentlemen, and this ain't telling you guys to this weekend pull him up and draft him as a top three. Just be so thankful that the entire room, make sure you're laying those little snakes in the grass seeds saying, oh man, Dak sucks, man. He's always hurt. Just put that out in the air and you'll be able to steal him in later drafts at where he's going right now in ADP.
I will also say, like, I throw out the numbers 4,030. Those are the numbers I'm guaranteeing you he will get if he's healthy. But yes, it's important to note, if you told me a quarterback in 2025, Laquan, hit 5,040, that one guy would do it, who would it be? For me, I would be deciding between Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott, and those would be the only two guys I'd be considering. And it would be basically a 50-50 coin flip. So Prescott has the floor if he's healthy, but he also has a ceiling that maybe is rivaled by one other guy in the league as a passer. So I love seeing you put him at three. I wish I was that bold. The risks keep him at six for me because those other guys are just so safe, but yeah. I would not be surprised if he finished there at all.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I do want to be a little bit more bullish on quarterbacks like this because, again, we forget Dak might sprinkle in a little bit of rushing upside as well. I mean, Dak is healthy. He says he's healthy. He feels good. He might sprinkle in a rushing touchdown here or there, and then that ups up that number of offensive touchdowns, and that's a lot more points on Sundays. So, Okada, let's just recap the top 10 for the folks, man. At our consensus, number one, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, flip-flop, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to argue until your face turns blue about this. This is literally a flip of coin. You are happy you have either one of them. Then at three, Jalen Hurts. We didn't talk much Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels, but it's kind of already understood. Like, these are the guys that are going to be in that top five conversation when it's all said and done. Dak coming at five, six, Joe Burrow, Bo Nix coming in top seven. That's where his ADP is right now, Okada. Like, I think he's in that 7-10 range. So I think we got that right, right?
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got Kyler at 8, Patrick Mahomes at 9, and Justin Fields cracking the top 12, where he is our consensus number 10. Like, I feel good about this consensus list. Like, I feel good about this quarterback one rather than our wide receivers one.
Now, I will say one thing, Nicole, we might have to touch on. Because one of the, maybe the hottest thing on this list, besides Dak being at five, is one guy who's not on this list that is squarely in everybody's, most people's top 10, and in, I think, top 8 in ADP, which is Baker Mayfield. Ooh. Baker Mayfield is going much higher in ADP than he is in our consensus top 10. Neither of us had him inside the top 10. I have him exactly at 10. You have him even lower, which is what knocked him down. So,
yeah.
I mean, do you want to tell the people why?
I got Baker at 13 because I do see, like, we saw the absolute best version of Baker Mayfield. He's going to have a good season because we have the same pieces in Mike Evans. Chris Godwin's banged up, but they got his replacement in Mecca Buka. You got J-Mac, Jalen McMillan there. The offense is going to be buzzing. That backfield is the same. Bucky, White, little injured up, banged up right now, but that's cool. But I think those touchdowns are going to come back down to earth. Like, I can't sit here and tell you straight in the face that Baker Mayfield will have like 30 plus touchdowns this season. He may be just skating in that 28, 29 mark where he almost hits that 30. But I think this offense takes a complete step back because we've seen the absolute best offense that Liam Cohen has put on paper and on film. And I do think the pieces were just right at that time, but he is the nucleus of this offense. And they're already dealing with O-line issues as well with injuries. So I'm looking at this as like, I'm going to take a step back and come back down to earth for what Baker Mayfield can be as a safe pick. Because like, I'd like taking Baker when he was going around Brock Purdy and Jared Goff, you know, and the Justin Herberts of the world last year. But now you got to pay that premium price for something that's not the same. Like, there's a huge change of this offense. So that's why I got him a little bit lower than the consensus. I think the rushing upside was great last year, but I do think everything comes back down to earth.
Well, I would add something to that, but I cannot, Laquan, because you could not have said everything more perfectly. That is all of my reasoning. I could literally exactly what I would have said.
Get awesome.
For the record, I really like Baker Mayfield. He's fun. I think he's a good franchise quarterback. I'm glad he broke out, but his numbers last year are not sustainable in the efficiency categories, and it's going to come back down to earth without Cohen. I just think he'll be like a borderline QB1 still, I believe. I don't think he's going to be awful, but just not QB7 or 8 where he's being drafted, and I wouldn't go close to him.
So if you used ADPs and you reached on Baker Mayfield last week in your draft, I am so sorry that you made that mistake, but you can make it up. There might be some preseason action where some of these quarterbacks might be on the waiver wire and pop up as a security blanket if Baker does happen to fall on his face this season. But it's been another great show, the FTN Fantasy Show. Me, your boy LQ, Mr. Real Deal, and Matt Okada. And we will see you guys next week for another great episode.